Dun, 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 dun. It's What a Wacky Week, the podcast.
You are about to listen to episode 84. That is all.
Now it's time to turn on the Wacky Week Wandering Microphone.
And this week we found ourselves in the heart of Bothell, which is just west of the Kidneys. We are at Steve's Cafe, and I'm with author and Vietnam-era veteran Vic Mills. How are you, Vic?
I'm doing just fine. We just had breakfast.
I know. Life is good. They have a good breakfast here. What do you get here? What's your normal breakfast here?
Anything that is basically on the menu. He does a good job with all of it, and lunches and stuff like that.
And lots of coffee. I want to go back to, I mean, it is Veterans Day weekend. When you see how we're doing with veterans these days, have we at least started to make things better?
I think on the surface, there's a lot of people that are at least thinking about things. I've seen a lot of people that are still suffering that shouldn't be, a lot of things that have been put off for 2 or 3 years, sometimes to when it's too late.
We have come a long way, though, from the Vietnam era when you came back from a war that was an unpopular war, and veterans really didn't get the respect they deserved.
One of the things that I remember, on Tuesday you were cleaning your rifle and going out on the line, and on Thursday you're on the airplane going home. And that's not a downtime. That's not a way to decompress, if you will.
What did that experience do to you? I mean, war is hell. It seems like in World War II, people came back and it was shameful to say you'd had a hard time or couldn't deal with it. And it just seems like when Vietnam rolled around, there were a lot of guys who got traumatized.
That's partly true, yeah. I think World War II was different in the fact that you were not kept back from doing things in combat that you had to do. In Vietnam, we were not allowed to engage the people that we knew were the enemies, so-called. We had to wait until we were shot at first. And that's like walking into, I used to use the analogy of walking into a prize fight in the ring and wait until this guy 6'8", 250 pounds hits you before you're able to retaliate. That's not the way to do well in a combat situation.
Now, you took a lot of your experiences from Vietnam and put them into your first book, Snafu. Is that your story, or is it just a collection of stories?
It's based on my experiences. I kind of laced it all around of the five of us, four buddies and I, that kind of protected each other.
You said when you went over there, you took your religion with you. Pretty much in a war setting, everyone gets religious, don't they?
Well, I've always had that on my shoulder. It's not something that I just practice on Sunday. And I think that a lot of people are like that, maybe even more so today with what's been going on. I can remember one incident in particular, early morning, where we were on a patrol right across the street from our compound. As we were walking, there was five of us, and we were walking down this compacted road. Nobody was supposed to be in that compound anymore. And we see lights at night or something, so they sent us out to check it out. And as we were walking down the road, it came to me, it's just like somebody whispering to me, we should stop and we should go around this tree and this hooch and come out on the other side. Now, being early in the morning, we had a little mist and a little ground fog and stuff like that on there, but it was sunshiny. And so we went around and we looked back across that road where we would have walked, and there were two lines of string about a foot apart and about 2 to 4 feet off the ground where we would have been. And the only way we saw it was because the sun was behind that area and shone the light of the dewdrops on these lines. One of the guys, which I don't think was a smart thing to do, at about 30, 40 feet away, threw this big piece of wood on it and blew it up.
So you came back, and you didn't become an author right away. You became a bus driver?
Well, I came back to work for the city of Seattle because that was what I was doing when I went over. Boeing hired me knowing that I was going to be going into the service. Then they had a major layoff in Seattle at that time, so I worked for Boeing for 5 days, and I was out of work. So after a couple of weeks, I kept seeing this ad in the newspaper about bus drivers, and I'm watching them wheel these things around the streets up here. But I went down and applied, and I was breathing, and I was a warm body, and they said, sure. And so I worked for them for almost 4 months before I went into service and had a job when I came back.
So Snafu is Vietnam. Your second novel is about World War II. Tell us about that.
Island of the Phoenix is about fighter pilots down in the South Pacific. And it's from a lot of reading that I've done to get an idea of what that was like. They were short on everything. Most of the material at that point was going to Europe because they felt that was the greater threat. I don't know how they would think that necessarily unless it was just to really help England to save their bacon. But the bombing of Pearl Harbor, I don't think was a small threat. But they, the people down in the South Pacific, Guadalcanal is a perfect example. They were flying 4 or 5 sorties a day in the Wildcat. Which was not a good plane against the Japanese Zero. And there are also P-40s, P-39s, and so on like that down there as well. And they were flying 10, 12-hour days and sleeping in mud and so on like that. Now, my story doesn't cover too much of that. It's a made-up base, if you will, on a made-up island. And they... keep getting bombed and strafed once in a while by Japanese, and they had absolutely no defenses, particularly beyond their M1 rifles and a couple 30 caliber machine guns. That was what my character was introduced to, from coming from North Africa, going to the South Pacific to be on a Navy base where he was an Army captain. The first morning he was there, they had this accompaniment of Japanese planes come over, and there was one fighter they left behind that they got operational. And so he, one man war. And that was things that actually happened quite often. One of the things that a lot of people didn't realize that we had an awful lot of people that were marooned on islands there that were inside enemy-held territory where there were U.S. service people involved. And that's part of what my story is worked around, is about 7 Americans that were operating on this island. They were able to steal Japanese radio, and because of another Japanese young man that was there, was able to decode their plans and send it ahead for several months. And then they finally got off, and that's all I'll talk about that.
Otherwise, you have to read the book. So let's talk about the book after this one, which you're writing. It's under construction. Hope to see it in 2017, right?
Yes. I was hoping it would be out sooner than that, but the editor that I'm working with has decided to squeeze my gray matter a little bit, and so I've had to go back and make some adjustments on that. It's a continuation of the main character from Island of the Phoenix going to Europe and fighting in the European War in early 44.
Well, first off, I got to say thank you for your service. Thanks for all you did for the country, and happy Veterans Day weekend.
Well, I appreciate that. I think of myself as somebody that was in the Army. I don't necessarily consider myself a worthy veteran, but I'm grateful for those that have come back, and I'm grateful that for the most part, all my marbles are still lined up.
And really, as long as you have your marbles, you're doing all right. Military author and veteran himself, Vic Mills. You can find out more about him and his books at vicmills.com, or just go ahead and buy his books on Amazon. And that is going to do it for this week's edition of the Wacky Week podcast. My name is Tim Hunter. I thank you so much for stopping by. We'll do it again next week. And until then, you know the drill. Do me this one favor. In light of this past week, we can all use a little bit of this advice. Laugh a little, would you?